Happy Wednesday, everybody, and thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope your day is off to a great start already. Ricky joins me today, and we tackle your great listener questions, including, how about staying at Riverside or Coronado for Princess Half Marathon weekend? Which one is better? We also talk about Topolino's Terrace for a celebration. Would you do the character breakfast, or would you go fancy at dinner? We also discuss ground transfers for Disney Cruise Line, getting from your Walt Disney World Resort or Orlando International Airport over to the port. How does that work and what does it cost? Also, what about the pools at Walt Disney World in the wintertime? Are they heated? Can you still swim in the wintertime? This and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast, always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. We are the experts when it comes to the Disney destinations. We are a platinum earmarked agency. We're going to take great care of you. So when it comes time to travel to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, your first stop needs to be themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click really does help us out. No matter what you're buying, just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a sincere thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week, every week, all around the world. We could not do it without you, and our patrons get a bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support the show, come on over, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2025 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. And as always, thank you for dropping in for more of your listener questions. We do this each and every Wednesday. It is automatic. I mean, we are always there for your listener questions, and we appreciate you taking the time to either drop in live on Facebook or YouTube on Mondays as we record these podcasts, or to send in a question to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com anytime you like. That works 24/7, no matter what time zone you're in, what continent you're on. It does not matter. We'll get to that question, hopefully. We've gotten to most of them over the years, not all of them, but we've gotten to most of them over the years. And we love answering those questions. So again, if you have a question, Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Today, you get a Ricky and Mike show. That's all that showed up because Pam and Scott, we wanted to have both of them on the show, but they are still in line to get a Figment popcorn bucket right now. They got in line days ago, and they say they'll have their bucket in hand by March 3rd. I don't know if they're going to put popcorn in it or if they're going to scalp it on eBay. I'm hoping not because they're good people. But you know what? Times being what they are. What are you going to do? If they go walking, however, if they go walking out with like 17 popcorn buckets, I'm going to kick both of them right in the knee. I'm just going to say that right now. So do it at their own risk. All right, joining me today, it just turned violent, but we have Ricky.
It did.
She's from themouseforless.com. Do you not get enraged when you see those pictures online? Are these people just, I mean, it's like the world's strongman competition with like 17 Figment buckets on each arm. Like, because they used to have that show, you know, where like the dudes from like Eastern Europe would carry the big weights. That's what it looks like nowadays. I don't know. Where are we at as a society?
I don't know. I agree. I, you know, as someone who would like to have a Figment popcorn bucket, but definitely was not having someone wait 7 hours in line for me. I'm sad that I will probably not get one now, but I will not buy one on eBay. So I won't help out the eBay pirates, and I'll just be sad that I don't have one. And you know what? Let's put it this way. Granted, I don't have any idea, you know, I don't know any inside information, but like, I suspect either there's going to be another shipment of these Figment buckets that come in before the end of the festival. Now, it might be a while, but hopefully before the end of the festival, we get another shipment in. Or if that's not something that's going to happen, I suspect this will not be the last time, the last festival, whatever, that we see this Figment popcorn bucket, or at least a similar Figment popcorn bucket. So, you remember the craze for the Orange Bird sipper that happened a few years ago, and then the next year they put out another Orange Bird sipper. So, I suspect we will see, if not for the end of this year's festival, probably for next year, another Figment popcorn bucket. Just my prediction. Just my prediction.
I would love to see. This is just me being spiteful. And I don't care. Like, I'm not... Like, for popcorn buckets, I will buy one if I enjoy the look of it. And I've only bought a few over the years. I bought the white Christmas tree one that kind of looks like a ceramic Christmas tree.
Yes.
Just because I love ceramic Christmas trees, right? I mean, I buy the real ceramic Christmas trees, like at, you know, Hobby Lobby or whatever, because my grandma had one. It's sentimental. So I bought one of those, not because it was like, you know, going to be some value thing proposition, you know, to sell on eBay or 5 years down the road or whatever. You know, I'm not speculating on it. I just like the look of it. But the thing is, like, what I would like more than anything, again, this is just me being spiteful. I would love for, like, next week, for this popcorn bucket to be available in like 37 everywhere? Stands around property for like $10.
Agreed. I would like to see it available at way, you know, across the entire festival. But I don't think that'll happen. But I do. I'm hopeful that they'll have another shipment come in. But at the very least, trust me, I have a very good feeling about this. This will not be the last Figment popcorn bucket that they do. It just won't be. Guaranteed.
But this is probably the last COVID version of Figment, because it looks like it, you know, I mean.
He does. He looks a little fat and chubby and, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I think he's cute, though. I think he's cute.
We all look kind of cute. I mean, we all got the COVID-19 going on, you know.
So, like, I mean, you know, the next Figment bucket may have a flower in his hand, or, you know, he may have a chef hat on for the next food, you know, for the Food and Wine Festival. Or next year, heck, they may bring out him back out for the Festival of the Arts, and he may have like an art palette in his hand. I don't know. It won't be the same Figment, but they're going to have another Figment popcorn bucket. I can guarantee, almost guarantee that. So, you know, I don't know 100%, but I'm going to guess.
Credit card in his hand, man, because he's raking in the dough.
That's why they're going to have at least another, hopefully the same Figment popcorn bucket, but another one, you know, in the future at the very least.
You knew we had to go there, folks. You knew we had to go there.
So he's got his credit card ready.
Okay, so before we get to the questions, we have lots of them lined up in the live chat. We got some in the inbox, but I wanted to just hit, just in case you were, you know, sleeping under a rock or you're really busy this past week, we have some new news. The Census spot, the Grand Floridian, is reopening soon. It's not going to be called Census anymore.
No, it's not.
It's just going to be called
Grand Floridian Spa.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, you can't really, you know, it is what it is. It's the spot, the Grand Floridian. So that's going to be
Floridian. The Grand Floridian Spa. You got to get it right.
Dude, yeah. I'm from Missouri. That's what I'm calling it. It's the spa that's there, you know. But I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. So that's going to be reopening, but bigger than that. Forrester news. This is big, even though she's still in line. Figment bucket, March 3rd, we might see her reemerge with a purple dragon in her hand that holds popped kernels of corn. Very soon, we're getting three restaurants back. Not one, not two, three. We're getting Jiko.
Yes.
What's the secondary thing they call it? The dining?
It's the not cooking place.
The cooking place. I couldn't remember the adjective. Yes. The cooking place. Okay.
Nobody calls it Jiko the cooking place. They literally just call it Jiko.
Like, is it the meeting place? Is it the family place? The fireplace? I don't know. It's the cooking place.
Yes, it's the fireplace.
Okay. Yeah. So we have Jiko coming back very soon. We have the Flying Fish on the Boardwalk coming back, which is very exciting. And I can't remember the third restaurant that's coming back.
The reason you can't remember the third restaurant is because it's a restaurant that hardly anybody goes to. Sorry, fans of this restaurant. My apologies. It's the Turf Club.
It's Turf Club over Saratoga Springs.
Yes. Yeah.
I've never actually been there. I think I have. No, you know what? I think I've only been to the counter service there.
Yeah, I've definitely done the counter service there. I've never eaten at the Turf Club. Although a while back, like a long time ago on Disney's website, they had this delicious looking chocolate cake thing that was on their website and nobody knew where it was at. They were like, where is this chocolate cake thing at? But I figured out it was at the Turf Club, and that's the reason nobody knew where it was, because it was at the Turf Club.
Hide and seek, baby. Hide and seek. So, and also, you know, some news that might affect your trip coming up. So these are all going to open within about the next month or so. So this is going to happen pretty soon. And buffets are coming back to Cape May Cafe and modified buffets over at Ale and Compass at breakfast, which is always a good thing. I like that.
Now, I have to admit, Brian and I did the buffet, or not the buffet, the actual, like, family style meal at Cape May for breakfast.
That was a
I know
steal.
You did it too,
I did
right?
it too, man. That was a. I felt like I was robbing them. It was a good deal.
I think that it works out better as a family style meal at Cape May for breakfast. Now, maybe not, you know, dinner with the whole, you know, all you can eat Fish Delight, but which is coming back too. But I really liked the family style all you can eat breakfast. So I'm a little sad that they're going back to the buffet option there. But I mean, I understand why. I mean, they have the buffet in the middle of the room, so like I get why they're doing it. But I'm, you know, I very much enjoyed the family style version of that. So sad that that's going away.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like as COVID had happened, modifications had to be put in place for a lot of different locations, a lot of different experiences. And I think that, you know, we're going back to a lot of the old ways with things as I can't even say as things kind of go back to normal, because obviously right now with the Omicron variant and everything, things are crazy. Hopefully we're getting to the peak of that. I'm hearing that maybe things will churn on that. I mean, I'm sick of just saying normal, because who knows? Because it's always like, right when you think you're getting, you know, like, oh, we're past it. And then it's always, you know, boop, there's the next thing. But, like, I think we're getting new ideas. I mean, we got the character cavalcades, which I think will stick with us, even though we're going to get parades back. We'll have those as well. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I agree. Cape May Cafe was an improvement.
I did think so.
They're going to go back. So, but, I mean, the thing is, there's going to be new restaurants. And, I mean, you could take maybe a struggling restaurant and go with this kind of a format and maybe make it better. I don't know. Hopefully Disney. Obviously, it's all about making as much money as possible. We know the Disney company.
Of course, and you can definitely make more at a buffet than you can with a, you know, family style meal even. So, you know, I get it. It's just, I very much enjoyed, I thought the food was not much better, but I definitely thought that it was a good way to handle breakfast there.
I did too. All right, Stephanie's got a question over on YouTube. She's tuned in live here. She says, hey, listener question. Thoughts on Princess Weekend? I gotta say, I did look, and the half marathon is open today. But I'm not doing it. I'm just staying away. I'm trying to save my money. Like, I'm just trying to save my money. And there's a race I want to do the next weekend here in St. Louis, and it's like dirt cheap. It's like $50.
Nice. So,
and it's a half marathon, and it's actually the one I've run my PR on once before. It's flat as a pancake right here by the house. So we shall see. She says though, staying at Coronado versus Riverside. I love both. It's a girls' weekend. I'm doing the challenge. Best friend is there, or best friends, I guess, are there for fun. So Coronado versus Riverside for Princess. Oh, okay. Here's the thing. Royal guest rooms at Riverside, if you're really doing Princess Weekend, that's how you do it, because those are themed to princesses. That's kind of a great time to do it. You got the boat to Disney Springs. If you want to do some dining, some shopping, really kind of stay out of the theme parks because they're kind of hectic during Princess Weekend. That's a cool option, especially because you got good dining at Boat Rites. You could hop over, you know, to French Quarter, grab some beignets. Nothing better than a beignet, man. Those things are so good. Scott actually brought me one when they were staying at Riverside because they bought too many. And I ate it at the Grand Floridian. That was so good. But yeah, Riverside would be awesome. But I mean, Coronado, again, we sing the praises all the time here. It just feels like a deluxe light, especially if you can get into the Grand Casino Tower. And the Grand Casino Tower is a great value still to this day if you can get in there. The whole resort's fine. Even if you're outside the tower, I like those rooms, newly updated. Great feel to the whole place. Both of them are all buses. Both of them have multiple stops throughout the resort, so that's a wash. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Ricky?
I mean, we talked so much about how great Coronado was, you know, just recently, and it really is, I think, a fantastic resort. But like you said, it is Princess Weekend, and so if you want to do the whole theme, you might want to consider those royal rooms. So it just depends. If you want kind of that plush upscale experience, then I would go with Coronado. But if you want like a completely themed experience, then I would do a royal room at Port Orleans.
All right, now live chat, Doug is saying, love direct bus from Coronado's to the races. He stayed there for Dopey. That's right. I mean, you are really close to Epcot.
Yeah, that's true.
At Coronado. Riverside, though, you're really close too, though. I mean, think about it. You're right across there. So it's not that big of a difference because you got direct bus service from every Walt Disney World resort.
Yes.
Because I've stayed at both. You know, Dan chimes in with that he's... Three Bridges is a solid dining option.
It is.
Yeah, everybody says that. I've still not been there.
You know, I haven't been there either, but everything I've seen from there, it looks fantastic. So, yeah. And I know Pam raves about it.
Yeah, Pam does rave about it a lot. Let's see. Alfred saying, do you think that Disney should limit popcorn buckets to two?
They
like
did, technically.
Yeah, they're just having other people buy them for them, basically, is what's happening. And
yeah, I mean, they definitely did have a limit of popcorn buckets to two per person. But, you know, there are ways around that. So it's two per person per transaction. So, you know, you can still get back in line and, or, you know, have multiple people with you or whatever. So, but it really was two per person. So.
I just texted Pam and Scott. They are each buying two.
Yes.
March 3rd, there you go. They're going to have them and popcorn in their buckets. Olivia is in our live chat. Hello, Mike and Ricky. What are the pros and cons of going to Disney in mid to late January at a non-marathon, non-MLK time? Okay, gotcha. Pros. Okay, so if you stay away from MLK weekend, which is a nut house sometimes. I haven't looked at it this year. I don't think it's as bad as normal. I haven't seen. Like,
I mean, I've seen a few things say that it's been busy, but it's always busy on 3-day weekends. So, but it doesn't look like it's like obscene. So I don't know. It didn't look like it.
Well, okay, so let's give pros. Give me a pro for January.
I mean, the weather is usually pretty decent, although sometimes, just a heads up, sometimes it does get chilly. Like, I know right now, it is kind of chilly down in Orlando.
They're opening warming centers in Florida. It's going to get down to, like, 38. Yeah, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can get chilly, but, you know, I've always had really nice weather in the afternoons when I'm there, and it's not, like, blistering hot. So that's one of the big positives of going in January, late January, usually. Like, that's what I was thinking about actually going for the Festival of the Arts. I was thinking of going at the end of January, but now I think I'm going to go at the beginning of February. So, but still same time period, just about it. So the weather is gorgeous, I have to say.
Yeah, typically it is good. And also Festival of the Arts, you just mentioned, great time to visit.
Exactly.
Cons though, shorter park hours. You're also likely to hit more like attraction refurbishments than other times of the year. True. because you're also going to have one water park down every year. Right now it's Blizzard Beach that's down. And Typhoon Lagoon's closed because it's just been cold the last couple of days. I'm trying to think other than that. I mean, you're not going to have like a lot of extra events going on this time of year because it's just it's typically the slower time of the year. But again, with shorter park hours, the less people, if you avoid the busier weekends, you're going to get more done in less time, so it all washes out. And it's more enjoyable because you're not in the heat, you're not in the crowds, and I would take that any day of the week.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
All right. Ashley says, ADR date coming up, Topolino's breakfast or dinner?
I've only done it for breakfast. So, I thought the breakfast was fantastic. So, and it's character breakfast. I mean, granted, it's not the same way that they used to do it. You know, it's kind of the drive-by character,
It was character dinner when I went, too.
Oh, was it?
I mean, I ate with Scott, but.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, I thought they only had character breakfast.
It's not a character dinner.
It's not a character, yeah. I do know that the breakfast is a little pricey, but I will say, if you ask, I've heard they can get you more than one entree. So, you know, that's an option too. I mean, you have to be nice and ask, but, you know, sometimes they'll do that for you. I really, really enjoyed breakfast when I was there. But I know you actually really enjoyed your dinner too. So, you thought it was one of the nicest dinners you've been to, right? I think, Mike?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I've been reflecting on this dinner for quite a while. Well, since I've had the dinner, so about a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I really enjoyed how fancy the restaurant was. Like, you cannot deny being on top of the Riviera, the view. I mean, we were there during Harmonious, and you can definitely see from our table now. This was not standing up. This was not going outside. This was sitting on our rears at our table. And we didn't even have, like, a window seat. We were, like, towards the middle of the restaurant. We saw down into World Showcase Lagoon. We saw the whole octopus thing with the screens. We saw everything happening. We saw like a big 360 view of the fireworks. It was incredible. And I'm not even a big Harmonious fan. Now, we could have heard the music if we'd gone outside. They didn't play the music in the restaurant. But, so that was amazing. The food was really, really good. But I mean, the thing is, I am just, again, I am the wrong audience for fancy food. Because I didn't know what to get. Like, I'm not going to get the fish because I'm scared it's going to be a fish that comes out with, like, its head on it. Like, that freaks me out. Like, that happened to me one time when I was a kid. Like, I was, like, 12, and I was eating out with my friends, like, grandparents. I was with them. and I ordered fish thinking it was going to be like fish sticks or something. I can't remember. Some restaurant up at Village Square, Ricky, up 270 in Lindbergh. And I can't remember. It was like, I don't know, Po-Folks or something. I can't remember. They brought the fish out and it was looking at me. And I'm still scarred to this day because of that. So, like, unless I know it's like what kind of fish it's going to be, like, I will not order it at a fancy place because I know sometimes I get fancy and that thing will be looking at you. So, anyway, can't get the fish. It was some kind of like sea bass or something. So, I knew like it, that sounds like it could be like looking at me. So, I got the pasta. I'm like, pasta's not going to be looking at me. And I just ran a marathon. Pasta's good. Safe bet. So, but the thing is, like, the pasta was really good. But I mean, pasta. It was a little fancy looking and everything, but it was like real expensive pasta and it tasted good. And I mean, I had a nice salad and stuff. It's just, it's really expensive. But what you're paying for is that fancy environment. You're paying for, you know, the date night, the whole, it's not just the food, right? It's the entire experience. So if you're going for the entire experience, you want to have some kind of a celebration, some kind of a really special meal. Topolino's is the way to go. I like dinner there. But if you're going for, like, you know, like pictures with the kids and stuff, breakfast is the way to go. But I would, you know, Topolino's would not be a place I would go all the time because I don't eat fancy all the time. But if I wanted to, like, impress somebody for, like, a special occasion, Topolino's. Because it does. When you walk in, you just feel like, ooh, fancy, fancy. When you walk in. And that's just me, though. I don't know.
So I will say they do have, this is what I was worried about for breakfast, though. They do have it back now, the wood-fired butcher steak, which is what I had. That was so good. I mean, that to me, if you're going to go for breakfast, that's what you get. You get the steak for breakfast. It was fantastic. It's well worth the money, I think, at that point. So if you're going to get the steak, I would go for breakfast because it was so good. I'm so good.
All righty. Diane's got a question. Says, need to get away from New England. Don't we all this time of year? Are the pools on Disney property heated or only select ones at select resorts? Good news. All the pools at Walt Disney World are heated to 80 degrees. So when you're in that pool, you are feeling great. However, we just mentioned this in this time of the year. Tonight, I saw down at Walt Disney World,
The
low is going to be in the upper 30s. So if you are staying on the backside of the 90s at Pop Century, while it feels good in that water, all of a sudden your body is still wet and it is 36 degrees and you are all of a sudden doing the skiddy scoo scoo to the room and you're like, how fast is this? You know, you're like scampering. You're like on those, you got your little, you know, Adidas flip flops on and the thing is your feet are wet and your feet are slipping out of the thing is like, you know, all of a sudden you thought you were incapable of a 8 minute mile.
But, you can do an 8 minute mile at that point.
7:30 back to the room if you're that cold. I'm telling you what, man, it's no joke. So I'm just saying, you can totally swim any time of the year. It's wonderful, but maybe bring like a bunch of towels and a bunch of stuff to dry off.
Maybe like a robe. I don't know. Just bring a big fuzzy blanket. I don't care, but just bring something to keep yourself warm.
It's cold. It's fine. I mean, just saying though, but be prepared because when you get out of the water, sometimes just a few nights of the year, but I've been there because I've told the story 100 times. Pam made me get in and swim with Paige one time, one of our first trips. I was still trying to catch her and I did it, but man, it's a wonder I didn't die of pneumonia that night because it was all star sports. Just saying. All right. Robert is in here. He says, hey, Mike, thanks again for making me feel so welcome in the Lizards group last week. Robert, thanks for running with us and thanks for being a part of the Lizards.
Yeah.
And shout out to all the Lizards and thanks to everybody who's been posting all the pictures and all the kind memories. We're going to talk about that a little bit more on Friday, about documenting the trip once you get back. But it was really, really a special, special dopey challenge for me this past time. And it just goes on, seeing all the posts on social media. Mm-hmm. So, Robert and everybody, thanks for being a part of this whole thing. It's amazing that we have such a great group. It's just, it's so awesome. So, awesome, awesome. All right, Rhonda's got a question here down in Alabama. Roll Tide. Can visitors not staying at your resort visit your resort? The pool, more specifically. We had it until the last part.
Yep.
Yeah. They can visit your resort totally. They can come see you. But pools are for resort guests only.
Only. Yes. Yes.
Especially if you're at beach and yacht.
Right. I mean, exactly.
Not really any pool, though. That's the rule. I mean, so, yeah. You can only swim at your hotel pool. Unless you're at... Here, there are some exceptions. If you're a DVC member, you're allowed to pool hop if you're staying on points.
Except right now. I don't think you are right now. I don't think any pool hopping is allowed right now, really.
If you're staying at Riverside or French Quarter, you're allowed to go back and forth. That is allowed.
Yes.
Okay, Rob's got a question. Are any of the evening spectacular packages actually worth it? So basically, I guess we're talking about like fireworks dining.
I would assume so. I'm going to say I think that the one for the Magic Kingdom, the dessert package, I think that that one is probably worth it. Now, I don't know if the one where you actually like sit down and get a spot is necessarily worth it for the fireworks. I think the one that's worth it is going to be the one that gives you the option to go see the fireworks in the hub and then go back, either have dessert before or have dessert after. I think that that one is a better option overall because you get to see the fireworks from the view that, you know, is more intended. I've seen the fireworks from the view where they have the fireworks dessert party. Actually, that was Brian and my secret spot before they started offering dessert parties. Just watch the fireworks. You know, it's an okay view from that spot. So I would go with the one where they let you in the hub grass and see it there. I think that, and it's cheaper too, which is kind of nice. So I would go with that one for sure if you're debating a fireworks dessert or any kind of fireworks, you know, option like that. That's me.
So again, here's me on these things. So I do love the fireworks dessert parties because I love some desserts. I mean, every night before I go to bed, I have me a little Debbie something or other, a zebra cake or, you know, a Swiss roll or something like that. Doesn't matter. Yes. Whatever it is, you know, Christmas trees. I destroyed those for a couple months. They're all gone. But the thing is, I've only done them as guests of either Disney or Pam Forrester in the travel agency. I don't pay for
them. Yeah, I get that.
Everything tastes better when somebody else is paying the bill. I'm cheap, so I don't pay for these things. What I do is when I'm on my own dime, I don't mind like staking out a spot for the fireworks. And the thing is, I roll my own dessert party like at the studios back when they had like the Star Wars fireworks or they did Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam at Christmas time. I would just roll over to the Tune In Lounge. I can't do this right now because they're not serving these to go PB&J shakes right now. They are not because Ben Lappin tried to get me one.
Weekend.
He actually, listen to this. This is what a cool guy Ben Lappin is. Let me just tangent here. One of our great agents over at the Magic for Less. If you're working for Ben Lappin, you're a lucky person. Here's the deal. He was being a nice guy at the studios. We were there the same day. He wanted to hook me up with a PB&J shake. Went to Tune In Lounge. They're not doing to-go PB&J shakes. He got a table. Somehow he weaseled him. I don't know how he got into the restaurant. He got a table for himself and his wife. And they went and sat down. And they just ordered dessert so that they could order a bonus shake so that I could have a shake. And they left with me a shake. So I got a shake.
That sounds like a Ben Lappin thing. Of all things, like that sounds like him.
So we sat there and had a shake together outside of the Tune In Lounge. It was amazing. It was the best shake ever. Oh, my gosh, PB&J shakes. But anyway, back to the question. I roll my own dessert party on the fly. Under normal circumstances, I just go get a dessert somewhere nearby. Whether I'm at the Magic Kingdom, I go to the plaza, get me an ice cream. Then to stake out a spot, boom. I mean, I don't have a buffet of desserts, but I have an All-American sundae or like an ice cream sandwich in my hand. Good enough. I mean, it's close enough. And you know what? It's like $8.
True. You know me. I don't love to be surrounded by a sea of humanity for fireworks. So like which is partially why I don't like watch fireworks very often, because I don't want to be surrounded by the sea of humanity. And that was before COVID. So, you know, but that's why I think that this works better, because then you at least, you know, that you're not going to be totally surrounded. You've got a spot to kind of like breathe and have space, I feel like, even in the hub grass area. So that's why I, you know, personally now I think I would go for a dessert party. I would not necessarily do a dining package for Harmonious, though. I think that there, since it's such a big space to see Harmonious with, I feel like you can have a great view and, you know, not have to, you know, roll up hours ahead of time to get that great view. So I wouldn't necessarily do it for Harmonious.
Unless you're a huge fan of it. Like, if we did it for one of the very, very last Illuminations, and it was awesome at Rising Crown, but it was because it was Illuminations. Like,
absolutely.
I had
to
see it like from the best. But you're right, and it wasn't, you know, is prominent viewing. Okay. Megan's got a question here. What's the buzz around Mears, specifically the express service? So I will say, while I was down there, I mean, the thing is, they just reskinned all the buses. I mean, obviously, yeah. Mears ran Magical Express, so it's not a big difference. It's a name change.
Right.
You're paying the bill instead of Disney paying the bill. They're giving you a couple more options. But, I mean, I'm telling you what, the drivers have on the exact same uniform. I mean, when they get off the bus or load you onto the bus, it's the exact same procedure I was watching when I was waiting for my Uber. There's not much difference. I mean, the signage is almost in the exact same spots at MCO that just says airport shuttle instead of Disney's Magical Express. And I mean, here's the thing. I'm not hearing any howls at all. I mean, it's just like nothing has changed to me. Nobody's, and I have guests using it. I mean, everybody's just paying for it, using it, and it's fine.
I mean, I heard a few hiccups, you know, at first, but I think, again, you're always going to have like a few hiccups when you roll over from one system to the other, just because you're taking it on yourself. So I feel like there were definitely bound to be a few hiccups, but I think, you know, so far it's going relatively well. And it'll be an interesting way of seeing how, you know, there's so many different options now to get to the Walt Disney World Resort. So, you know, you've got the other option, which is the flyer, something flyer. Sunshine flyer? Something like that.
It's the train.
That's it.
But it's a bus.
The one that looks like a train. So that's coming soon, or if it hasn't already rolled out by
I think it starts in February.
Oh, okay. So anyway, you'll have a few options with that too. But I think, you know, the express service is, you know, I think it's going to be a fine option for you. Although I did see, I'm not sharing like rumors or anything like that, but I did see an image online of minivans.
Oh, no. You don't even know. In Marathon Weekend, Disney flexed. So they used minivans for barricades to get people where they needed. There were 100 minivans.
That's why.
Butt to butt. Like to get like where you walk into the races, there were 100 minivans like lined up. I mean, they were everywhere. They were everywhere. Like everybody thought the minivans were gone. Nope. There were like 100 minivans like just lined up, just boom, boom, boom. They were like it was like a wall, but the wall were minivans.
That's why they were using them as a wall. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, totally. It was a barricade at Marathon Weekend, the warm up area.
Oh, that's even worse. Hey, we've got these really awesome cars. We're just going to use them as a barricade.
They were cool looking. I mean, yeah, it was a nice little red and polka dot wall. But yeah, it's like, because I remember I walked up for the 5K and I forget who I was walking with. I was walking with Scott, I think. And I'm like, well, hot dang, there's where the minivans are. Because I mean,
right?
One, like, there were three of them. It was like 100 of them. I'm like, well, remember when we were talking on the podcast like a year ago? We're saying, yeah, I think they're at a car dealership in North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably wrong on that one.
Definitely. Well, that's good to know. I mean, I'm glad to know they still have the cars, but, you know, I mean, sad to know that they're only using them now as, like, barriers instead of actual cars.
So, that's sad. Good. I was just like, well, that's funny. Disney's flexing. Like, yeah. You thought you knew what we were doing in the minivan? So, okay, here's 100 of them. We're going to use them for a while, sucker.
Yep.
Okay. Chip's got a question here in the live chat. I know the Magic for Less partners with someone for transfer service, but we're a family of six, and most likely grandparents will be with us too. What's the best way for private transfers that are cheapest but unsure? Also, any updates on when Space 220 will open? We hear it'll open in the next year. No.
Yeah, it's going to open soon, I promise.
It's there. It's you can open. Get it. It's just got to get an ADR now. That's true.
Yeah, you just got to get the ADR.
But it is open. It's not just a myth.
It is.
Okay, it's so I've gotten, because again, I monitor this stuff. Two companies that I'm recommending currently with the Magic for Less, HappyLimo.com and Tiffany Town Car. Both right now are giving great service for my guests. I ask everybody as soon as they get back, and I'm getting only good feedback from my guests as far as rates, driver friendliness, and also the vehicles, the you know, options for vehicles, you know, limos, vans, bus, like microbuses kind of stuff. Not microbuses, not like VW microbus, like, not like Fillmore from Cars or anything. It's like those like church vans kind of thing.
Yes.
Lots of options. I mean, you're going to get there safely. You get to pick your vehicle, which is kind of fun. We actually did a party bus one time going to the port. We had this like, it wasn't like a full-on school bus, but it held like 12 people. It had like a disco ball in it in the middle and had a sound system. Dude, we are rocking it. So you can get one of those.
Yep.
Too.
There you go.
All right, let's see here. Liana's got a question. Any news on whether Trattoria Al Forno is going back to character dining? I booked it, and a couple days later, they said it wasn't going to be a character breakfast anymore. Any news?
Any no, I haven't heard anything about that restaurant, offering character dining. And honestly, I wouldn't expect it anytime soon. Because those were princesses. And so it's kind of a tight space. So I think it's a little bit harder for them to do like meet and greets or, you know, obviously they're not doing like the traditional meet and greets. So like, I think it's a little bit harder for them to do like the drive-by meet and greets that they're doing right now in that location. So I think it's probably going to be a while before that one comes back as a character option.
Yep. Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. But I'll tell you what, though. Trattoria Al Forno is a good restaurant. I like this restaurant. It's a dinner there. Again, I had lasagna over marathon weekend. This was kind of different, though. It doesn't feel as... It's not as fancy as Trattoria Al Forno. The prices aren't as high. And the food is just as good. I mean, lasagna... I mean, pasta's pasta to me.
Right.
It was really good pasta. And it was like a 3D looking like a flower kind of thing. It was almost too weird looking, but it tasted great.
So. It was weird. I agree. It was definitely like really pretty because I saw the picture that you posted and I'm like, what is that? So I guess when you can't tell what it is, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It definitely didn't look like a lasagna.
I know because it came out and I must have looked at it weird and the waiter's like, it's supposed to look like a flower. I was like, oh, I see it now. I see it. I'm like, is this lasagna still? He's like, oh yeah, taste it. He's like, it's lasagna. He's like, we got a new chef.
See, I guess if you're trying to fancy it up that much, maybe you have done something wrong.
Yeah, he just saying. He's like, that dude's from Missouri, man. I got to tell him what that is.
I got to tell him that's lasagna.
He's confused. Yeah. He is told, like, lasagna is supposed to be like in little squares, you know, like with red sauce on the top. But yeah, it tasted really, really good. Kathy says, is there Disney transportation from the resorts to the cruise ports and then from the ports to MCO? Correct.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's almost like Magical Express, but you got to pay for it. So the way it works is you can add on, they're called Disney Cruise Line transfers, and they're via big motor coaches. You've probably seen them at Walt Disney World there. They just look like Magical Express buses, except they got portholes. And you don't always get one of those buses, by the way. You might get one that just looks normal. I know, it's always a bummer when you don't get the one that looks like with the portholes. But you do most of the time. But they're $39 per person per way. And it's either from the Walt Disney World Resort to Port Canaveral or from MCO to Port Canaveral and the other way around. So it's $39 a person per way. And they're easy to add on up to 7 days prior to your cruise. All right, let us hit one more question from the inbox, shall we? And this is a Dogs fan. It's from Faison. He says, hey there, do y'all have any recommendations on how to handle the Pacific to Eastern time zone change when traveling with a toddler? We'd like to keep her as close to her normal schedule as possible, but don't know the best way to do this. Should we rip off the Band-Aid and operate completely in the new time zone, or should we ease it in over a few days? For your information, we'll be in Orlando for 2 weeks. We're also thinking that the time zone difference would work in our favor for the first night or two so that we can view the fireworks while still being on Pacific time. Any thoughts? Go Dogs, go Hawks, go M's, go Kraken, and bring back the Sonics. Thank you, Faison. And by the way, my dad did the radio broadcast for the Seattle Kraken going back to Seattle just the other night.
That's awesome.
So if you listen to the Kraken on the radio in Seattle, my dad was pushing the buttons there. He had to fill in.
Nicely done.
It's the first game ever in St. Louis. They didn't have a radio engineer, so they had to call my dad. So there you go.
There you go.
Let's see here. So, yeah, you know what? I've never traveled that many time zones, but Ricky, you've done a lot of time zone swapping. You don't have a toddler, but what do you say?
No, and I will say it can be a challenge even for the adults. It's definitely because I've obviously done it the opposite way where I've gone to the West Coast from the East Coast, and that can be rough because you definitely want to go to bed a lot earlier. And I've done it from, you know, here now, granted I went over to England and stuff like that. So that's a lot further. When I did that, I did that kind of like a red eye thing and made sure that, you know, I stayed up the rest of the day and then went to bed, you know, with the regular London time. As far as going from California to, you know, Florida, I would, if you're going to be there for 2 weeks, I understand wanting to like get her on, you know, the, your normal, you know, keep her on her normal schedule. Was it her, him? Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay. I would ease.
I would ease into it as well. Yeah. Like I do time. Like 1 hour and then I do like, you know, another hour and then, you know, like I would ease into it as well. Like I said, it can be difficult for adults. So I can only imagine how difficult it could be for a toddler. So I wouldn't like rip off the Band-Aid. I would certainly, especially if they got 2 weeks, I would ease into it. Cause that, trust me, it will mess you up after a couple of days. I mean, seriously, it will hurt. You'll be so exhausted. You know, time zone changes are no joke. They really can mess you up. So I would absolutely ease into it. And if you need to, you know, give up early one day, then I would give up early one day, or, you know, it's the other way, I guess, for them. If you need to, you know, stay up later one day, stay up later that day. But yeah, I would absolutely ease into it. It can be tough.
But I love the idea of using it to your advantage at the very beginning. Yeah. Like, and seeing the fireworks early, because it's going to be like watching the fireworks at like 6 o'clock at night. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that exactly.
That's a huge advantage in your thinking. So I love that idea. That's perfect.
I would more ease back, like the closer you get to the end of your vacation. So that way you can, you know, be closer to your correct time when you get home. I would absolutely do what Mike said, you know, take it to your advantage at the beginning and just kind of stay up a little later than you normally, or, you know, it's 6 o'clock your time, 9 o'clock their time. So yeah, I would just stay up and watch the fireworks and do that kind of way.
Yes. Yeah, so Scott's in Michigan. So he's in the Eastern time zone like you, Ricky. And one of the things he always raves about the Disneyland races that they no longer have
yes.
is that, you know, when they would have these early morning Disneyland races, since he was from the Eastern time zone, traveling three time zones west, it's, like it wasn't early to him. Like he was like raring and rocking to go, you know, like wasn't yes. such a shock to the system because he was, you know, especially if like he traveled out the day before. Like,
yeah, going backwards is a little bit easier in that regard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the going forwards, which can be kind of tough. So, or reverse that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Going forwards is a lot easier. Yeah,
going the direction
than going
he's going to Walt Disney World's harder.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But that's why Scott's like, I love going west for the races, but going home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But going home for him might be tough.
For the record, I just got to say this because we're done with the questions for today, but I don't know how people on the Eastern time zone, I don't know how you guys watch TV, because the thing is, like, if your news starts at 11 o'clock, I would never, I mean, before social media, I would never know what was happening in the world, because I don't make it to 11 o'clock ever. Like in your ball games that start at like 10 o'clock at night, how do you ever see a sport, like, ever?
I understand. I mean, given that I came from the Midwest and now I'm on the Eastern time zone, it is a weird thing to know, like, okay, my shows are going to start at 8 o'clock and not 7 o'clock. And it does throw me off a little bit, because, you know, I get tired and I'm like, oh no, I have to, you know, my show's not over until 11 o'clock at night.
It's craziness.
I'm ready to go to bed now, you know, so.
Like, do people on the East Coast just like stay up all night long? I don't get it. Like, I just, yeah. If Rhonda Lee says worse for Atlantic time, I can't even imagine. Like, because I see those times, I'm just like, man, if a football game starts at 8:15, I would never see the end of the first quarter. Like, ever.
No, Brian, half the time he falls asleep. I mean, for sure. He's definitely out before the end. Yeah. Yeah. The end of the game.
So sad. All right. So this is the old fogies podcast. Sorry. We used to be the young and hip podcast. Now we're just the old cranky.
Right. Get to bed by Mike's 10, definitely the cranky one.
Totally. All right, we're out of here. We're going to have more questions next Wednesday. So, again, if you have a question, Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for all the great questions. Join us next Monday around 5:45 Eastern. You want to jump in live with us? We love that. And you can get your questions right to the top of the queue. Don't forget, today's show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation, especially to Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, even Adventures by Disney. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. All the great trip planning tools are right there at your disposal. And while you're there, fill out that free, no-obligation quote form. We'll take great care of you from there. But just mention the Be Our Guest podcast. It'll come right to my inbox, and we'll be planning that trip right away. And don't forget, they're the best of the best. Platinum earmarked. Not every agency is. We are and we respect that. We love our guests, and we book a lot of trips, and we get great feedback from our guests. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click really does help us out. I know I say that all the time, but it really does. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thanks to our patrons, you guys allow all this craziness to happen each and every week, three times a week, all around the world. So if you'd like to get a bonus show on Thursdays, Mike in the Midwest comes your way. Just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give Ricky a follow right now at Ricky Nibs on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at BeOurGuestMike. You can follow the show at BeOurGuestPod on Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. And if you have a few minutes, and who doesn't have a few minutes? I mean, come on now. Like, while you're eating your lunch today at work, or while you're supposed to be working at work and you're doing something else.
Yeah, exactly. Social media. That's more like it, yeah.
Give us a 5-star review. We love it on Apple Podcasts, wherever you download the show. It means a lot to us. It helps other folks find the show. It gives us discoverability. When you've been around as long as us, it's hard to stay high in the podcast ratings and charts because those charts are based on kind of the new hotness. And yes. The one thing we are not is the new hotness.
We're new just, hotness. No.
We are steady as they come. We're steady as they go. But that's not how podcasts are rated. So if you wouldn't mind giving
us
a rating.
We're like prunes.
We are. We're like Miralax. We're there. We're there for you. We keep you regular. We're a good friend. We'll keep you steady. But anyway, if you don't mind, that's terrible. But give us a rating and a review, and do not add that into the comments, please.
Yeah, don't add that we're like prunes.
All right,
please.
I got to check in on Scott and Ricky, see if they've moved up at least 3 spots there. I think they're up to test track
me and
now
Pam,
at this point.
Because yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Ricky's here. Check. Scott and whoever and Pam. Yeah. So hopefully they get those buckets by March 3rd. But we'll be checking in with them. But we'll be back in on Friday. We have a fun topic for you that I think is going to be great for everybody because we all get home. And we're like, I wish I was still at Walt Disney World, but we're going to make that trip last just a little bit longer for you. So for Scott, Pam, and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.